Hey, listeners, thanks for tuning into the podcast. I just want to take a moment to mention the podcast sponsor, retrogamestore.com.au. Head over there for all your Game Boy refurbish and repair needs. Screens, shells, buttons, all the bits and pieces. And there's a complete custom build made to order service as well. Also, plenty more retro gaming goodness like video cables, display stand and power supplies, controllers, etc. And you can add the code PixelPie at checkout to get 10% off your order. Also, take a moment to say if you enjoyed this episode and haven't already, give it a subscribe or follow and a review where you can. And maybe you want to recommend the Pixel Pie podcast to anyone you know that would enjoy it. That'd be really appreciated. So thanks for listening. And now let's get on with the show.
Hi, this is Kiki Stardust, also known as 8-Bit Pixel Dust, and you're listening to the Pixel Pie podcast.
Hello, Kiki. How are you doing?
I'm good. Scott, how are you?
I am very, very well. It's sort of like 4 p.m.-ish on a Saturday arvo. You're in New Mexico, United States of America, correct?
Yep, that's correct.
Wow. I see some of your photos. You can see it. Like, I'm looking at one on your Insta right now of the Diglett GBC cover. And behind that's just, there's a bit of shrub and stuff, but you can see it's just goes on and on behind it. It must be such an interesting kind of place to live and grow up. Did you grow up sort of out there, like I guess it's desert compared to a lot of other places, like your whole life?
No, actually, I'm originally from Detroit, and I kind of somehow made my way out here. It's kind of a long story, but basically, I've moved around a bunch all over the United States, and now I'm here in New Mexico.
Wow, that's a pretty big effort. I mean, I've lived in sort of 3 to 4/5 of my country, Australia, but it's nowhere near as vast and sort of populated and, you know, kind of busy as the US. That must be pretty, it's good for someone to have seen more of their country than someone who's just never left their home state or their hometown. That sort of changes your mindset a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, and actually when I drove out here across country from the east to the west, I stopped in a bunch of different places. Obviously, it's... it takes like 4 or 5 days to drive across.
So you just went from Detroit to New Mexico and just sort of stopped for rest purposes, or did you stop for weeks and stuff?
Both.
Yeah.
I like to stop at museums if I can, or like sightsee a bit. Wow. I stopped at in Albuquerque because it's north of where I'm at.
Yeah.
And because I'm a huge fan of Breaking Bad, I did like a little like sightseeing tour.
Yeah,
of, awesome. Like the locations where they filmed.
Yeah.
That was fun.
I've not watched Breaking Bad. I think I've watched maybe 1 or 2 episodes. It's just one of those things that just not yet has stuck to me, you know. But Albuquerque reminds me of a Simpsons episode where I think Homer goes to like the local baseball isotopes or something. And he gets drunk and falls asleep in a room full of all this like Albuquerque merch, and he just wakes up and he's like, Albuquerque, and he's trying to tell everybody that they're selling the team. But anyway, that's my knowledge of Albuquerque. I'm sorry for Albuquerqueans that are now wanting to know where I live. So you've been, as far as I can see here, you've been painting the retros, Game Boys, things like that since 2014. No offense to others that are really great and doing it now, but you're one of the veterans, there's no doubt about that.
I think I am one of the oldest people on Instagram still doing it, at least. It kind of started because I found this video on YouTube of this girl. She's actually Australian. She modded a Game Boy Color with like the original light screen mod. It was like a really old school version of it.
Yeah.
Where you like tore apart SP.
Right.
And you took the screen out of that and you put it into the Game Boy Color.
Right.
And I saw this video and I was like inspired by it. I'm like, oh, well, if she can do it,
she's about
the same age as me, I can do this.
Yeah.
So then when I had it apart, I was like, hey, why don't I just paint this? Like, I'm awesome. A painter.
Awesome.
So that's kind of how it started. And then 8-Bit Aesthetics, really nice guy. He reached out to me. He found my art, just so happens, and kind of spiraled from there. He was like, hey, would you want to paint more stuff? Right. Hell yeah.
So 8-Bit does a lot of the UV printed stuff.
Yeah, now he does. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So
all back, UV stuff.
So back then, when he first approached you, was it all still hand painted? Sorry, was it all still hand painted, like supplying to him then, or was he back then, or like sort of translating from your hand paint to UV?
Oh, back then it was all hand painted.
Wow.
Stuff. The UV stuff didn't come until, I don't know, like the past few years.
Yeah. So you had an agent, basically, like a distributor.
Basically, yeah.
Oh, that's so rad.
It was a good partnership.
Yeah, that's so rad because he does like full builds, right? So you are like, here's a sweet shell, and he does that kind of like, the surgery stuff, and you just get to enjoy, the painting of it. That's unreal.
Yeah.
I see at the moment on Instagram, you've got commissions are temporarily closed. When an artist tells me I'm no longer taking commissions, that means two things. One, they've given up, or two, they're flat out. And I'm going to suspect it's the second one, right?
Yeah, I needed a break, to be honest. I was a little burnt out.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, I'm going to do my own thing for a little bit. I want to paint some ideas that I've been tossed, that I've had tossed to the side.
Yeah.
And then I'll just post them on Instagram and sell them that way.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice to
when I feel better, I'll reopen my commission.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's I mean, everybody loves your stuff. Everybody loves your stuff. Everybody wants a little bit of geeky in their shelf. And there's nothing you do. I mean, you're going to be one of those artists. You're like, oh man, there's plenty of stuff that's not good. Trust me, there's a pile of it over there. But everything that you put up, 100 people are like, I want it. So there's no doubt at some point you could sort of go, all right, here's 20 shells, first in, best dress. And dude, you'd sell them like in 2 or 3 days. So, and there's less pressure.
Yeah.
So painting retro since 2014, but obviously you didn't just pick up a paint pen or a palette and just go, hey, I'm going to start painting stuff. I'm going to suspect that you've always been an artistic person, if not somewhat trained, educated.
Yes, I went to art college actually, but I've always been a painter. So it kind of just was like, well, I'm going to take my two interests, painting and retro gaming, and combine it.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And so retro gaming, so you did grow up gaming? I mean, you're wearing a Zelda shirt, so you're going to be a fan.
Yep.
Yeah.
I wore the Zelda shirt for you.
It's beautiful. I love it. It's funny with Zelda. I feel myself getting more and more drawn towards Zelda. Like I've played Minish Cap on the GBA and I started playing Twilight Princess on the Wii U. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing this, but I feel more drawn towards Zelda universe because of the people I know that also love it. Like when I meet someone like yourself and I feel like I identify with other aspects of your character, purely through Instagram and chatting and stuff. And I'm like, and it's interesting how you can get drawn towards something because of the people. You're like, hey, they're pretty cool whips. I think I'm going to go check it out. And it's so rewarding to know that, yeah, that's fun. So sorry to interrupt, but it's not like, I'm not doing it because it's cool. I'm doing it because other cool people are doing it, if that makes more sense. Anyway.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
So you grew up a Zelda fan?
Yes, always. It's probably my favorite franchise. And then Pokemon is probably second, and Animal Crossing, and Splatoon.
Yeah, it's Splatoon. I played Splatoon. I played Splatoon recently on the Wii U. Is that where you came in, or was Splatoon 2 for Switch?
I wasn't planning on buying a Wii U, and then Splatoon came out, and then I bought it like the day of, I think.
It's so fun.
I couldn't wait to play it. I know.
Yeah.
Just obsessed with that game.
You're still with the original. You're obsessed with the original.
Well, I haven't played the original in quite a bit because now I have the second one on the Switch.
Just the concept of, like, you know, squirting the ink and then kind of like squidding along in the ink and hiding and, you know, creating your own, just little things like that are just so fun. I'm not into, you know, headshot, first-person shooty, oh, I'm the best kind of stuff. But that's just kind of like,
same here.
Water guns full of ink and I'm a squid. Like, what's there not to like? That's so much fun.
I know. It's cute and addicting.
Have you done a Splatoon shell? I should have done my research.
No, I actually haven't, but I've thought about it.
Maybe when your commissions come back on.
I don't know if somebody
would
buy it.
You never
know. I don't know, maybe.
I was talking to...
I would like to do it.
Well, anybody's listening, you want Splatoon shell, wait till that wait till that no vacancy sign goes down and boom, it kick you up. I was talking to Daniel Blom a little while ago, and he did one for... the Game Boy game Tater, which is a pretty unknown sort of game. It's like a little, you spin little sticks. It's a little bit like a puzzle maze. And he's like, a guy wanted a shell with Tater. It's like, so there's always someone that wants something. Always.
Right. True. Yes. Yeah.
So prior to printing the shells, what sort of art were you doing? Was it sort of just like paint and stuff, or did you go through graphic art sort of techniques, or what were you doing before that?
Other than painting, I was a graphic designer at two different companies for a little bit, and I've also done screen printing for a company. So I've kind of been dabbled all over the art field. I also like to do like amateur photography for fun.
Right. I mean, that comes through in your Instagram, because you don't just go, here's a shell on a rock. You know, your composition is obviously thought out, which is clearly...
My best.
We all do. It's just some people do better, like yourself.
Well, thank you.
So did you enjoy graphic art? I was a budding graphic artist when I was like in high school. And unfortunately, I did work experience at a place, and he's like, dude, you're going to spend most of your life doing like product catalogs for the local supermarket. And I was like, I don't want to do that.
Right. Yeah, I understand. I loved it in college, and then doing it for a company is so much different, because you're kind of just pleasing whoever it is, you know, who wants the graphic art, or just a bunch of photo editing, which is a lot of what I used to do, and just so repetitive. And I mean, it's all right.
Yeah, it's not as artistic.
Right. Yeah. It's like, people sometimes think that they want free range on an artist, like, oh yeah, just do your thing, whatever. And then they get it back and they're like, well, actually, tweak this and this. It's like, cool. And then it turns out not really being my thing anymore. That's at least my experience with graphic design. But
yeah. It's funny, that isn't it? The disconnect between the creator and the client in the end. For about the third time, I'm massively into the US version of The Office. I listened to a podcast with one of the characters, Kevin, and he's talking to a lot of people like Greg Daniels, who originally brought it from the US, from the UK, you know, worked with Ricky Gervais and stuff. And they were able to sort of just tell all the executives at the TV show, at the TV station, whatever studio, like, just you need to stay out of this. It won't work. If you have your greasy little mitts in it, you just have to trust us. And they managed to pull it off. They did like six episodes and didn't know if it was going to go again. And they just managed to kind of work it out, and 9 seasons later. But yeah, it must be very frustrating, because you're looking for personal growth as an artist to explore other techniques, to just play around, and you're kind of being channeled down this, what the customer sort of says. The other side of that is, I've spoken to some people that do Game Boy shells, and someone says, like, just do me a Zelda shell. And they're like, I need a little guidance. No, you just go with it. And that must be the other end of the spectrum of incredibly nerve-wracking.
Yeah, so with Game Boy painting especially, I am always just told, this is the character I want, do whatever, and then I do it, and then it, you know, it turns out amazing because it's more of a passion thing for me.
Yeah,
put in more efforts for something that I have, you know, interest in. And also, you know, Nintendo, what's not to like?
Yeah, that's exactly right. God, Nintendo. I've said probably every episode, I didn't have any of this kind of cool gaming stuff except for like the last 3 or 4 years. And I definitely now feel that if I had been, I would have been a Nintendo kid. Just the world of Mario and the world of just that aesthetic. I'm playing Luigi's Mansion on the GameCube at the moment. I was up till 1 a.m. this morning. That's ridiculous. Wow. Yeah, it's too late for a dude like me. But I just get this drawn in, the way the story tells and the aesthetics and stuff. So what's not to like about Nintendo? Anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So your progression from, because as far as I know, as far as I can tell, just talking to you, that you're currently, your bread and butter comes from being an artist. You no longer work for these graphic design companies. You're just geeky stardust out there doing it.
Yeah, thanks to the pandemic, I've been able to, you know, pursue more of my own interests and go full time with my art.
Wow. How is that going for you? I like you. Yeah. I mean, everybody hears the story of a struggling artist that's living on noodles, you know, in a basement. And it's like, are you? But there's got to be a balance between the freedom as well. Like, do you want to be rich or do you want to be doing what you love? And you can't live on love. You need sustenance for after a while.
Yeah, I've always tried to pursue this as like a side hobby, but I've always wanted to do it more full time. So I feel like, yeah, money can be tight, but yeah, I'm also doing what I'm passionate about, and who knows what the future holds. This could spiral into something else. I don't know. Sure.
Have you ever done any kind of like illustration, like for books or comics? I mean, there's a million wannabe comic book kind of illustrators out there, but is that something you've ever had a look at?
I don't have any personal experience in something like that, but I've done a lot of illustration work.
Yeah, your other, so you've got 2 Instagram channels, personality sounds cool. One is 8-Bit Pixel Dust, which is very much about the Game Boy art. And the other is Geeky Stardust. And this is purely illustration. This might be a spattering of some 8-bit stuff in there, but it's purely, and this one, good news, commissions are open. Did you need to change that?
Well, yeah, I probably could change that, but it's kind of oversight. But
yep.
I wouldn't mind doing a portrait, though, something a little different than a Game Boy. So sometimes I need to switch it up. That's all.
Yeah. It must be a bit of a challenge because you can see, like I'm looking at the 2 different styles, like the 8-bit and the Kiki side by side here, just like flipping between tabs. And they're really similar, but obviously the medium and the way you can kind of, the way paper works under paint versus a hard plastic, it must be pretty tricky to sort of take what might be in your mind or a sketch on paper and then translate that onto a shell. Do you want to kind of share with me some of the challenges that you face? Like, do you ever have to kind of just hose a shell off and start from fresh? Is that possible even?
I've always drawn out my idea before I even touch the Game Boy. So like I have like a template I made of the shell, and then so I know like to avoid the buttons, like I don't want to put like basically some like if it's a face, I don't want there to be a button over the eye. I watch out for things like that. I always draw it out first and then I transfer it onto the Game Boy and I paint it up.
and I imagine the paints and so on that you can use on paper, how they must be different to what you could use on a Game Boy, right? I know when I spoke to Kelsey from yesterday's tech, and you know, a lot of their challenges for Kelsey and Sam were painting on the shell and then having the shell be, you know, with a clear coat, being resilient enough to be actually played. So I don't want you to give away too many of your techniques, but how do you deal with that? I mean, you want someone to have a beautiful shell, and they want to be able to take on the bus in their bag and have someone go, cool Zelda shell, where'd you get that from? Kiki, you know, so.
Actually, I've had this conversation with Kelsey a few times, and we've both run into similar issues, but it's usually the paint marker's fault. For some reason, those paint markers, they tend to crack or they don't adhere to the plastic correctly. There's just like some factor that is like kind of frustrating there. So I always use acrylic paint and paint brushes.
Right.
And those have never been really a problem for me. And I just make sure that I seal it with clear coat, like really well.
Yeah.
Probably like 4 or 5 times of clear coat.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll post the Game Boy though before I clear coat, so my Instagram may not look exactly how it finishes because I have to wait for the coats to dry.
Yeah. I know what you mean. It can be very difficult to when you've got something that you really love. I think I was saying to you before I bought these Repro Wavebird GameCube wireless controllers, and I painted one because they're kind of like, you can see it here, it's pretty a bright gaudy orange, which is GameCube-ish, but it's like, meh, my GameCube's purple. So I cracked it open and painted one. The top's purple and the bottom half's black, and I was like, I really want to put this together and see how it goes after about 5 hours of sitting outside the paint drying. And I put it together, and then I played it. I was looking at it, I was like, there's fingerprints all over it. I was like, ah! So I had to kind of pull it off and repaint it. But do you find that the after the clear coats, there's a change in sort of vibrancy or texture or anything like that? Or are you just sort of, you're just keen to get it out there, and that's why you're kind of posting before you clear coat? Because 4 days of a clear coat a day, that's like an extra week, you know, if you're putting 4 or 5 clear coats on, if you're doing it right.
It usually takes like, I would say 2 days for all the layers of clear coat. Being out in the desert, there is the one benefit of the heat. So it doesn't take very long actually for the coats to dry.
Yeah, nice dry heat too.
Right, yeah. So that helps.
But
once I do have the 4 or 5 layers of clear coat, the only real difference is that there's less. It still looks a little textured because it is paint, but it looks less textured. Right. Like it looks smoother.
Yeah, I get you. Because you're going to get minuscule buildups across the surface where you've kind of like done a blob in an eye or something like that. Yeah. How did you
pretty much.
How did you feel going from like when you had a design, because you've had a bunch UV printed. How did you go from a design, say, like paper and then on a Game Boy and then prepare that for the UV printing process and then kind of see it and go, damn, like that yellow's not the yellow that I originally had and things like that. How do you work with that? Because that always amazes me the most, whether you're satisfied.
Well, me and printers have a history of not getting along too well.
Oh, really? Do you mean the printing people?
But no, not the people printing, but the actual printers, the machines.
Right. They can't deal with your exotic palette and your subtleties and things like that.
Yeah, well, so far 8-Bit Aesthetics is he's been printing the UV prints for the Game Boy Colors. Yeah. And they've been turning out pretty well. There's a little bit of a trial and error. You know, sometimes he'll show me like a little sample picture of like a first print, like a test run. And then I might have to adjust the colors a little bit, but for the most part, they turn out pretty well. Mm. You know, I have to say it's pretty accurate to my original vision.
Do you give him digital in that situation, or do you just send him a shell and he kind of scans it and deals with it?
Yeah, it's digital art.
Right. So you've got to redo. So if you did like the Diglett thing, If you if you hand painted that, you've then got to recreate it digitally. Is that what you're saying?
If I was to, make that digital, yeah.
Oh, so you might just do hand painted ones, and then you might do totally separate, just a digital version of something, and go, well, here we go, let's do this one.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I do. I plan ahead before I'll decide if I want to do a traditional painted or if I want to do a UV design.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. do you find the Game Boy stuff still relaxing compared to, like, where's your go-to place as an artist? You're like, you know, I'm just going to flop around today. I watched one of your little Instagram live feeds of the day. You were painting like a link on a sort of A3 to A4. Oh, yeah. Oh, you got it there?
Yeah, well, it's not very far along still.
I was watching that. You were just like yakking along and just having a good old time. I think there was like two of us there and you were just talking up a storm. It's just so good to see you just chilling and happy. It's not like I don't know you. I don't know what to expect. I've heard your voice once before. But I was like, look at her. She's just having a ball.
It is a lot of fun.
What's about, right?
Sometimes it's just like the Game Boy is so small that sometimes I just like, I got to paint something larger because it's not necessarily faster, but well, it kind of is. Actually, painting larger is faster than painting small.
Yeah. Because
you got to use like really tiny paint brushes.
Yeah.
They're just kind of
crazy. And it's probably, I'm not an artist, but it's probably easier to kind of like to undo something on a paper or a canvas as opposed to a Game Boy. How do you go about when you've made a mistake on a Game Boy? Can you kind of use like, you know, thinner or something and kind of take it back? And what do you do?
There's techniques you can use to correct something. Usually if I put down the wrong color, like if I'm painting Bulbasaur and he's the wrong shade of green, like I'll just wait for it to dry and I'll just paint another shade of green on top of it.
Awesome.
You know, that's awesome. Usually like the fix for it.
Yeah, I think one of my favorites in your most recent sort of creations is that the Stormtrooper with the pink flowers.
Oh yeah.
On the white
that DLG. Was for Julianne. She commissioned me on that one.
She gets all the good stuff.
I know. And then she commissioned me for the neon Darth Vader. Which that one was insane. I've never used neon paint before. And in person, it just was blinding. The colors were absolutely insane. The photos on Instagram do not do it justice. She got it in the mail and she was like, what is this, Kiki?
Let me go put my sunglasses on. I'll call you back.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's got that really kind of awesome sort of 80s, 70s, 80s, and there's a lot of t-shirts and stuff getting around like that these days, that sort of retro-y kind of, but with that weird 90s neon vibe, like you said. My other sort of top three, I mean, when I try to pick what's your top five Kiki shells, I'm like, can I make it a top 10, please? One I really do love is the Game Boy Color with the AE86 and Pikachu sitting on the bonnet there, like ready to take pink slips.
Because
that's awesome because it's kind of like, it's like line art of the car, but then he's kind of all full color and like, bring it. Yeah, it's awesome. Does that one you just obviously, I assume you just sort of just the fine black kind of mark, you just sort of drew that one on like that?
I think so. I don't remember, to be honest.
I think that one was a while ago. Yeah,
it might have been a combination of a marker and a paintbrush, if I'm not mistaken. But I loved the black and white look with the yellow Pikachu. I thought that was really cool.
And you were talking before about putting buttons and things in the right place. I mean, you put black buttons in that and a black D-pad, it's going to be fine. You're not losing anything.
Right, yeah.
It's a real challenge. I know several people that sort of express their their feeling of challenge, especially with like a GBA, because everything's kind of in, there's not a lot of real estate, so it's hard to get around the screen and all that sort of business.
I've only done one Game Boy Advance commission. It was a Bob Ross inspired, so it was scenic.
That's the one with the big landscape river on the back.
Yeah, the landscape. Yeah, that was so much fun. And if I were to do another GBA, which I would like to, I definitely utilize the back like that.
That is interesting. Yeah, it's got a, is that a squirrel in the front?
Yeah. Bob Ross was obsessed with squirrels.
Oh, really?
Like his favorite animal ever. Yeah. He was always talking about them, so I had to include that.
Oh, look here in your Instagram, it says, fun fact, Bob used to raise baby squirrels in his house. One of them he named Peapod the pocket squirrel. He said this squirrel just never wanted to leave his pocket. Oh, what a guy.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I thought maybe you might have been trying to sneak in like a Vulpix or something just in the corner there. But no, it's a squirrel.
Yep. That's cute.
So if you're taking time off, what are you doing with yourself? Like from commissions, you just chilling and regrouping?
As I've already mentioned, I'm obsessed with Zelda, so I plan on doing a lot more Zelda shells. Because I've not had a commission for one in a while, and I never get sick of drawing Link for some reason. That's one of my ideas.
Yeah. Are you kind of like out in the middle of nowhere, or are you kind of near a big town? Like, what is a New Mexican? Well, that's not really quite right. What does a resident of New Mexico do on their weekends when they're not at work or hanging at home? What's in your area that's kind of rad that you enjoy? Do you spot UFOs on the weekend?
We do have like a farmer's market every weekend, and there's a lot of artists that sell stuff down there. And I've been a couple of times, but because of, the pandemic, I haven't sold anything down there.
Right.
I've just been concerned about that whole situation. But maybe in the future I would like to. Here is kind of in the middle of nowhere. I live very close to like the edge of the desert, and you hear like coyotes and bobcats and mountain lions and stuff.
That's crazy. <It's pretty>
me a little uneasy sometimes, but I've gotten used to it a little bit.
So you don't go out like running at night or anything like that sort of thing?
I will walk in the evenings, but once it gets dark, it's like, nope, you better, head inside.
Really? Legit? Like, they would come and check you out and maybe think you're dinner. Is it that, they're that full on?
I mean, there's been a bobcat. I don't know if there's been a mountain lion around here, but definitely a bobcat, and I'm kind of scared to encounter one of those.
I was watching a video recently of a guy bushwalking somewhere. I don't know where he was, like maybe Colorado. And he was just like, obviously in the US. And he's walking on a trail. And this big cat, like a mountain lion, sort of comes out. And it was a female. And it's like, go, get out of here. And he's walking backwards with his camera going, I'm leaving, I'm leaving. And it's like escorting him down this track. Like, get out of here.
Oh, wow.
Leave now. I'm going to count to three. And I'm going to like bite you on the ass. And he's like, it's all right, it's all right. I'm going. It's like, holy, like. He was obviously in its space, and we forget that they have space. Do you spot aliens? Are you in that part of New Mexico?
I might have seen a couple of things.
Oh, really?
That I could not explain, but actually, there's a NASA facility like really close by. I just randomly discovered it when I was out driving one day. It's not Area 51. Area 51 is actually in Nevada, which I did live close by. And I didn't think about it at the time when we were moving out there. And then over time, it kind of bothered me. I did not like being in that area. It just kind of creeped me out. I don't know. I'm afraid of aliens.
Were you like, I'm tired of getting abducted every second weekend. This is really boring me now. Wow. So
I just don't want to encounter anything ever.
No. as much as I'm curious, I'd be like, you know what? I'd just rather hear other people's stories. I don't want to be probed or any of that kind of shit.
right.
So the NASA place, is this just like just an old shed with like a tiny NASA badge on it and it's really discreet? Or is it like, we are NASA, this is huge and white and stuff?
You can't see anything. So when you're approaching the facility, it's just like a road that looks like it leads to nowhere. It's just empty, vast desert. But there's like this huge sign warning you that there's cameras and you must turn around or else kind of a thing. So it's kind of bizarre.
So you should not go down that road, just to be safe.
Right. Yeah. No, you should not.
And so, what else is goes on around? So where Kiki lives, do you get to go out and sort of hike and things? Like, I imagine there's some people that just love the desert and they see a real beauty in it. Like, I imagine like big cactus and, you know, or is it like, no, dude, this is one of those deserts where you just kind of live and you stay home and your air conditioning and you drive places. You don't do that in this desert's rattlesnakes and bobcats.
Well, there are dangerous animals. But I do go hiking. There's a lot of mountains and giant cactuses all over the place. You just got to be cautious, really, and wear boots.
Wear boots, yeah.
In the summer, wear boots.
Yeah. We've my wife and I have started watching a series called Fargo. Most people have seen it 10 years ago, it's based in Minnesota, and it's just boots, because it's wet and snow and mud. Boots. I'm like, you know, you could live in flip-flops where I live for like nine months of the year. There's people that live in Canada and it's like, I'm gonna put on my shirt and my sweater and my jacket and my over jacket and my gloves. Oh, you going for a hike? I'm just putting the rubbish here. It's like, oh my gosh, I couldn't live like that. Have you traveled much outside the US?
I have. I've been to Japan. Yay. And I've also been to London twice, and I've been to Mexico.
Right. Well, Mexico is just like next door neighbor, right? You just go there every second weekend.
I mean, I moved out west and then I went to Mexico. And it didn't feel any different other than everyone spoke Spanish and I don't really speak Spanish. So
right.
That was like the only difference to me. It was just more of where I lived.
Unfortunately, what you see in Mexico, like here in Australia, due to sort of media, is it's just sort of sketchy. It's just like a dirty weekend and it's just sort of, you just hold on to your purse and all that sort of business. How did you find Mexico when you went there?
It was fine. It was pretty, like the ocean was pretty, you know.
Oh yeah. What's so down into Baja sort of area? Did you just sort of go
Ensenada? The whole south. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
Did you sort of go down like into Ensenada and all that sort of nice part?
Well, when I was in Mexico, I went to Cabo San Lucas.
Sounds delicious.
Which is the vacation land.
Oh, right. Did you buy heaps of art and, you know, like get much sort of inspiration while you were down there, or is it just like other cultural sort of stuff?
It was just a vacation, so I didn't really do much of anything other than relax, which is nice. Sometimes you need that, you know?
You do. And now we've got to find ways to relax at home, which is also, it's nice to be home, but it'd be nice to get out a bit more. There's no doubt. I guess the beauty of your position is that you're not, like, where would you rather be? I don't like to dwell on pandemic stuff, but where would you rather be right now, sort of like with the open space in New Mexico or back in Detroit?
I'm happy where I'm at, I think. I do miss Detroit from time to time because that's where I grew up. It's always going to be nostalgic for me. But I love traveling and exploring too much. Like, I'm not going to stay here my whole life. I know that for sure. Right. I definitely want to travel to Australia one day. That'd be awesome. Oh,
I think you would love it. I think you would. I think, you know, if you're happy with desert and you don't mind a bit of culture, and you don't mind being around some cities, I think you'd love Australia because it's got all of that.
Yeah.
And I mean, from West Coast to East Coast, if you drive that, yeah, I think I underestimate how large our country is. I think it's probably, realistically, it's 4 to 5 days. I've done the drive sort of in sections. I myself traveled a lot. Like, I think we're probably pretty similar in that. As I get older, it gets harder because I need, like, hotel beds. I can't just sleep in the back of my VW van or, you know, in a tent right. anymore sort of thing. So it's a little uh-huh. expensive. But, yeah, oh, you'd have a ball over here. Someday.
Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah. Do you what took you to New Mexico, like from all the way up there? That's a long way and quite a stint. Did you just throw a dart at a map and boom, I'm going there?
Well, to try to summarize, I started in Michigan, moved over a state to Wisconsin. I was miserable. And then I saw an opportunity in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. So I moved there and then Las Vegas turned out to be not that great of a place. I didn't mesh well there. And so then I moved over to New Mexico, just a couple states over. And boom. Here I am.
Here you are. Awesome. Awesome. Cools. All right. Well, look, I guess I sort of really want to give you the opportunity just to talk about your own styles and stuff. I mean, I just keep throwing questions at you. I just have so much interest because you're such a experienced and prolific creator. Is there anything that any projects you got going? I mean, you talked about your sort of, I guess let's label it Zelda series. Is there anything else you're sort of pursuing at the moment that you would like to share? Have you looked at streaming, like sort of Twitch streaming, or am I incorrect in saying that because you already do?
Actually, I have not done Twitch, but I've thought about it. Mm. I feel like I need to have a little more experience, like build myself up a little bit to that point. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I overthink it too much or something.
Yeah, you just put your stuff there, you put a camera on it and you just go, right? I mean, that's Twitch, really.
Right, yeah. I like live streaming on Instagram because I feel like it's just more casual, I guess.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah. Have you got more UV shells to go over to 8-bit, or are you kind of, again, that's just sort of, you're just sort of ramping that down until you feel like you can create some more?
Well, with the UV stuff, I've always, I only create UV designs when I feel like I have a strong idea for something. Mm. I don't like to just create whatever and just produce it. You know, like I don't want to just, I have to have a good idea for something. Mm. Right now I do have a couple of UV designs in the works, but they're secret.
Oh, okay. One of your most recent posts is the Donkey Kong, the yellow one. Is that is that a recent release?
I just finished that one a few days ago.
It's cool as bananas.
Thank you. Yeah, I really love that one. I thought that was so cute.
So that's a painted shell, that's not UV, right?
Yeah, that's painted.
Yeah, that's neat. That's neat. Yeah,
Thank you.
Did you have fun with that?
Yeah, I did. I don't think I've done a yellow shell before, so that alone was exciting to me. I have done yellow before, but not, it was the like the transparent one, yellow.
Right.
Not the solid.
Yeah. I like the faces. You sort of got Donkey Kong's kind of like, he means business, but he's got a smirk. And Diddy Kong's like, what are we doing today? Let's go. Kind of stuff.
Yeah. I found this gold tray that I put it on and I was just like, yes, this is the shot. Yeah, I got really excited about it.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't even notice that. Sorry. I'm just looking at the Donkey Kong. I just thought it was like a big bunch of bananas. But now I can see the reflection of your signature on the bottom of it at the bottom. That's so neat.
Yeah. That turned out good.
Coolio. Well, I think I've interrogated you long enough. I might do a bit of a shout out and then just give you an opportunity to kind of, you know, let a few people know how much you love them, or kick the can for someone, or, you know, you promote yourself. The opportunity is really here for you to talk about whatever you want. So for this episode, I'm going to do a shout out to BB Retro. So this is, again, everything's always in the show notes. B_B_Retro. So there's a lot I like. There's a lot of good photography here. There's a palette. It's a sort of a, I wouldn't say washed out, but there's a lot of modes and just some nice filtering. So it looks like a bit of PVM stuff here and there, but just generally beautiful photography. No PVM. Oh, yeah, there's the PVM, sorry. Just beautiful photography. And it's got this teeny tiny little screen that's like an inch and a, I mean, it's sitting on top of a Dreamcast, and it's like a third of the Dreamcast. And one of his latest videos has got like a couple of sort of Pokemon figures out of focus looking at this tiny screen. Like, it's for them, it's like a 55-inch TV, and it's playing a bit of Pokemon. But it's just really beautiful art. Just a really nice collection. Obviously, someone that really loves Pokemon, loves Game Boys, and has their own sort of, softer style. So BB Retro, go check out that person's Instagram and get inspired, follow, and enjoy. That's Brian. Thanks, Brian. You're awesome. Now it's your opportunity if you want to send out some love.
Yeah, to all of my artist friends out there, I want to support all of my fellow artists. Mm-hmm. You guys are awesome. Kelsey, Julianne, Daniel, yeah. Bloom, Kelly at Next Stop Please, and everyone else. Sometimes we'll get people coming out of nowhere and like, hey, you inspired me to paint this, and I support that. That's awesome, you know. Mm. That makes me really happy that you saw my stuff and were like, yes, I want to do something like that, you know, and you create it. Mm. I love that. Mm. And of course, 8-Bit Aesthetics, I want to give a shout out to, because we've worked together for so long. And
it's a good medium to have, and to be balanced between the printing and, you know, still enjoying your own, you know, hand-painted stuff. It gives you a lot of options as opposed
to... Yeah, definitely.
I find it really nice how you're sort of like, I'm not just going to punch out some UV printable art for the sake of it. It's something that if I feel like that's where it belongs, then that's where it will go. It could be very easy to just punch out like... With your talent, you could put out art for a new UV shell every week, right?
Right.
But then you're back where you were with that graphic artist sort of path. You're like, well, I'm just punching it out for the sake of it now.
Right. Yeah, I like it to be more curated, something special.
Yeah, awesome. I know that you've helped me secure a shell, which I'll share soon. I am absolutely so thankful. When you come to Australia, you have a bed. If you're in Queensland, you have a room. Stay in.
Well, thank you.
And we have a beautiful dog to pat, and my daughter will talk your ears off. And
I'll book my flight now.
My wife will take your running or whatever, because there's no bobcats. So it's all
good. Nice.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that. Okay.
Yeah. We live in Queensland, Southeast Queensland, and we live in probably one of the best parts of the country weather-wise. It gets warm, gets a bit wet, muggy, but we've got plenty of ways of staying cool here. Yeah, right. So I guess we can wrap it up there if you like, unless you've got anything else you want to kind of share with us. Really great to chat.
No, I think that's it.
I love these chats because I can, when I look at kind of people's Insta, like when I look at yours, and I can just sort of see you kind of getting around, and it just helps us all to sort of know who you are. And I think for someone like yourself, like when Kiki's shell turns up, it's not like, hey, I just cracked this out. It's like, no, well, I put some feeling into this and I enjoy this art. And I get a slight sense that when you hand paint something and you send it off, there's a real sense of something I've created is going to someone, and no one that buys your shells goes, I bought one of these, it's okay. Everybody's like, I got this. Yeah. And everybody else is like, damn you, I want that.
My goal is to create something that you will keep for a lifetime. That's, you know, I want it to be a collector's item.
And make every single other person jealous. So,
well done.
And Julianne is the one. I mean, I have spoken to Julianne. Hi, Julianne. I have chatted with her about coming on just as that collector. Like, she just has a beautiful collection of just so many beautiful shells from all the different artists amongst the community. And
yeah, I bet. Yeah.
She's feeding artists. That's what she's doing.
Alrighty. Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, look, thank you so much for your time. And we're going to wrap it up there. And thanks everybody for listening. As usual, if you do like it, and it's the first time you listen to an episode, subscribe or whatever, follow, however it works, let someone know. Yeah. And more importantly, go and check out 8-Bit Pixel Dust and Kiki Stardust on Instagram and support an artist, support someone local, and keep enjoying your retro gaming. All right. Thanks, Kiki. We'll be in touch soon, hey?
All right. Thanks, Scott.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.